Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
You promised the world and I fell for it. I put you first and you adored it. Set fires to my forest and you let it burn. Sang off key in my chorus, 'cause it wasn't yours. I saw the signs and I ignored it. Rose colored glasses are distorted. Set fire to my purpose and I let it burn. You got off in the hurting when it wasn't yours. Yeah. We'd always go into it blindly. I needed to lose you to find me. This dancer was killing me softly. I needed to hate you to love me. Yeah. Turn me down and now it's showing. And so long to replace us, like it was easy. Made me think I deserved it. And the thick of healing, yeah. We'd always go into it blindly. I needed to lose you to find me. This dancer was killing me softly. First and you adored it. Set fires to my forest and you let it burn. Sing off key in my chorus.
Time where you are. And Mariana, I'm here with Hannah, Michelle, and Phoebe. We are in Mirror Voices. I'm gonna start saying hi to Hannah. Hannah, how are you?
Hello. Nice to. I don't know if you can hear me on this microphone, or is it? No, yes, you can. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode. Nice to be here on a very short week of work that we have here in Colombia. In Colombia here, Monday was a holiday. We're here working Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday are off for for Holy Week and Saturday and Sunday and all
but
that.
But I feel more tired this week than others. I don't know why.
And you have off from school, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're here today and yesterday, but, like, you don't have classes.
No, I'm not. But, Michelle, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited about the long weekend.
Very long weekend, yeah.
I wish that every weekend, week like this. Well, not completely, but something, kind of.
I could get on board with, like, there are countries that are, or organizations that are starting to do, like, the four-day work week as a standard. So, like, every weekend is a puente, as we call it here in Colombia. Like, you have every Friday or every Monday off or whatever. I could get on board with that.
Yeah.
Me too, because I feel like I spend, like, at least half of my weekend just trying to, like, do all the things I need to do to be an adult.
Yeah. Right.
Shopping and cleaning.
When else are you going to, like, clean the apartment and cook and do grocery shopping and do all that?
And by the time I've done all that, I'm
and
like,
go out and see
Sunday
friends.
Sunday evening again.
I know, now.
Rest, yeah.
Well, I know how to do that thing, but I have to do homework. So, Phoebe, how are you?
I am good. I also have homework to do. I don't want to think about that. That's tomorrow's problem.
No. For me, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe this weekend. I don't know.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm really good. I am buzzed. The weather's good. I'm here this week. I ditched you guys last week to go to Boyaca.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It wasn't my choice. excited for the long weekend. It doesn't feel like Easter for me. It's just because it's very different to how Easter is in the UK. So it just doesn't feel like it's Easter. But that's not a bad thing. It's just different.
Okay, yeah. Well, here we not talk a lot about Easter. We talk more about Semana Santa. But for a lot of people, it's more like a week of vacation, more than do other things. But we start the program Listen. Lose You to Love Me, the Selena Gomez. So the music for today, it's for each like country that we have here in the radio station, we are gonna have a singer.
Nice.
So,
ambassador to the United States today.
Yeah. So, how is Hannah? It's gonna do like the intro. So, I put Selena Marie Gomez. It's an American singer, actress, producer, designer, and businesswoman of Mexican descent. So, she started her acting career at the age of 10.
Oh my goodness.
In Barney.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Bernie. I'm friends. So for this moment, we have Selena Gomez, but in the older program, we are going to have person from the UK, from Zimbabwe, and from Colombia.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So, Hannah, you can start telling.
Yeah. So, here on Mirrored Voices, we have talked about holidays in the past. We talk about Christmas, we've talked about Halloween, we've talked about, you know, other holidays, and we've never really talked about Easter. Granted, this is like anyone can choose to believe this or not. We're not trying to like promote one religion over others, but it is interesting that in Colombia, Holy Week is very much talked about, and, you know, it's vacation and everything, but without really talking about what it's for. it seems a little strange. I remember one of my first years, I was I had learned the word Pascua, which is what Easter is in Spanish, but, like, none of my friends knew what I was talking about, and then I felt like, is that not the word? Is this not, you know, the Sunday, and they kept saying, oh, the Sunday after Holy Week. I was like, that's, in my perspective, it's like, well, Holy Week is the lead up to Sunday.
No.
So for it to be like an afterthought was like, this is very strange for me. For those of you that are unfamiliar, in the Christian tradition, Easter is one of the most important days because it's, so Jesus, essentially, this is my retelling of it, pisses off a lot of people in power because he's talking about, you know, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. You should give your wealth away. You should include women and sick people and people that are deemed like unworthy by society. And instead of rejecting them, you should include them and all of these like radical ideas. So people in power did not like that and crucified him, which was nailing him to a cross, which was a capital punishment. That was like the death sentence in the Roman Empire. And he dies alongside other people that have been sentenced to death. Mm-hmm. And there are women in the story, very much present throughout the whole story. The women, so Mary Magdalene is a name that many people have heard of. Mary, Jesus's mother, other women who all seem to be Mary for some reason.
They all have the same name. Didn't think of many more names.
I know. It makes it very confusing. And they are present during that whole process, taking care of him as he's dying, and then taking care of his body afterwards. Mm-hmm. And the women go to the tomb where he had been buried after he died and find that miracle. He's come back to life, or not in like a zombie way, but in in a way to say like death is not the end, you know, we can overcome all of these challenges and things like that. But often overlooked in this story is the importance of women. So in all of the retellings, in the different gospels of the Bible, it's Mary Magdalene. Other versions have other women as well with her, but the clear point is that there are women present who are the first ones to witness this, like, biggest miracle in the Christian faith, and Jesus tells them to, like, go out and spread the news, which makes it wild, the fact that so many churches, including the Catholic Church, do not allow women to be preachers or reverends or pastors when they are arguably the first ones. They, you know, it's because of, you know, these women that witness miracles and talk about them and share them, that we have this celebration, that we have this, like, part of our faith, and yet their work is still silenced or, you know, seen as not as important, and women are, like, not given leadership roles in the church or not allowed to preach.
And the other thing is that, I mean, historically, it's, if they wanted to make up a story and make it more convincing, it would be very strange for them to choose women as the first people to witness Jesus' resurrection, because women would have been considered unreliable narrators, right, because we're women and we can't obviously be considered to
our
be
hormones,
believable.
We just can't think right, you know?
So that's interesting. And also people seem to forget that a lot of the women, and there's like evidence to show that the women supported Jesus financially and supported the disciples financially. Yeah. And see, people like to forget that actually, like, part of the reason Jesus was able to, like, do his ministry was because women, like, financially backed him.
Yeah, but I believe that that's not something that they forget, but maybe there's other people trying to do that this person forgot that was a woman. Mm. It's more like a play to other person to trying to this person for God and not believe that was a woman, because the idea of the woman. So I guess it's not just forget. It's the idea that the woman can do that. Trying to change that idea.
Forgot.
Oops. Oh, no, we forgot. Similar to the whole narrative of, like, Mary Magdalene as a prostitute or, you know, promiscuous and all of these things, which is found really nowhere in biblical texts. But it was the first Pope Gregory who was like, oh, she was a sinful woman. And then from then on, you know, that's meant as a way to, like, negate her value in the story. And here in SAPALC, we, as an ecumenical organization, we've also started another round of preparing workshops on, you know, women in the Bible and on connecting some of these biblical stories with women's rights today. It is still very much, you know, connected and important, and including if you are not of a Christian faith or don't believe, it's, you know, the understanding of the stories and how it connects to today is still something that I think is worth talking about. So we'll be preparing another round of workshops for July.
Especially when, like, so many countries, including the UK, are, at least, like, legally, and a lot of our, like, moral compass is based off the Christian, like, based off the Bible and Christian faith. Like, the majority of people in the UK aren't Christians, they're atheists, but I still feel like it's important that we talk about it if so many societal structures are based off Christian values.
Here in Colombia, like, most of the holidays are Catholic holidays. Colombia is considered, I think, still one of the most Catholic countries in Latin America.
And actually, Star, this year, we realized that we don't have a lot of holidays like the last year. Because
they fall on the weekends, right?
Yeah, and that was difficult for us, for the Colombian people, because we have like
the most that holidays
that we can rest. So for my friends and me, it was like, we really have every Monday this class. Like, when is gonna happen a holiday? So Semana Santa was like the big moment to the people to trying to rest a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's difficult for us.
Yeah. And so speaking of the ways that, like, women's work, starting in the Bible and the story of Easter have been erased, most likely purposefully, to kind of take away some of their acknowledgement and power,
yeah.
We realize that that still happens in the way that we experience Easter and holidays and vacation today, in not recognizing all of the work that women do to make these things possible.
Mm.
So that's kind of what we were thinking of a little bit for this program, and maybe some fun facts on, you know, traditions and where they come from.
Yeah, but maybe we can go with other song. So I guess we are gonna go to the UK.
I'm really interested to see who you've chosen.
How do you not know? You definitely know who it is.
So we're listening Adele Lari Blue Atkins, known simply as Adele, is a British singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. She is one of the best-selling music artists in the world, with more than my God, I always forget how to say the numbers in English. 120 million sales of album and singles. I love her.
I'm glad you chose Adele. That's a good option. Yeah.
Was a good option? I'm scared right now.
I think Selena Gomez and Adele so far are ambassadors to the world. You've chosen well.
Okay, I hope, Michelle, that I chose well. I'm scared.
I actually would love, like, a dinner party with those two. Like we imagine, like, a dinner party with all the people that you've chosen. That would be fun.
Yeah, it's, like, so different. But also, Phoebe, can you talk a little bit? What do you have for us today?
Of course I can. So, as Hannah was saying, we were thinking about the holidays or, like, festival seasons and how, obviously, normally they're a time to rest unless the holidays all seem to fall on weekends, as they did this year. But actually, for many women, that's not really the case because we have to make these holidays happen. Like, if you think about all the jobs that need doing over the course of a festival season. So you need to clean the house, but cleaning the house also involves deciding what needs to be cleaned and buying the cleaning products and then doing it. Or you need to make food. And so, like, you need to decide what you're going to eat, and then you have to budget, and then you have to go and buy the food, and then you have to make the food, and then you have to serve the food, and then you have to clean the dishes. Mm-hmm. And all of these things, which women, like, the majority of that is done by women. And we know that because of statistics. So there was an article in, I think it was the New Yorker, about how in 2019, if all the unpaid labor that women did had been paid at minimum wage, women around the world would have made $10.9 trillion, which is more than all of the top 50 companies in the world put together. So that's a lot of money. And it goes to show that women are doing a lot of the work to just run the country. And to show how important this is, in Iceland, I think in 1975, the women took a strike where they refused to do any of the housework, so cook, clean, look after the children for a day, and the country literally came to a standstill. Because,
right, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, because the men were like, oh, who's going to take the children to school, or who's going to cook dinner? And so the restaurants were overrun, it just didn't work. And since then, AA motivated the Icelandic government to give women the equal pay, but also now they have one of the smallest inequality gaps in the world. But still, I think in every country, women do the majority of unpaid labor. The smallest gap is in Sweden, where men do, I think, just over 3 hours work of housework, and women do almost 4 hours of unpaid labor. And then the biggest gap is in India, where per day women do about 6 hours of housework of unpaid labor, and men do 52 minutes. And the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development defines unpaid labor as time spent doing routine housework, shopping for necessary household goods, childcare, tending to the elderly and other household or non-household members, and other unpaid activities related to household maintenance. And it's so important. I mean, we already said it feels like we spend all of our weekends cleaning, cooking, shopping. And I live by myself, so I don't have anyone else to do it for me. But imagine doing that for a whole family. And obviously, when the holidays come around, there's even more to do. There's, there's presents to buy. And I also think there's a massive amount of pressure online as well. I don't know whether you guys have it on your algorithms of not so much trad wife content, but mums and family vloggers who always decorate their house for every season, or always want to make Easter baskets or have the biggest Easter egg hunt. And it makes so much pressure for people to have this perfect existence and to be these perfect parents, or feel like they're depriving their children of something. But I just feel like it's added pressure for women again to create this perfect world and create this perfect experience, which is impossible. And then also, many women now rightly are working full time, but we're still expected to do the unpaid labor, which means that we really don't have any time to rest. So I think it's just interesting, obviously, working together. And I love the holidays, I love different festivals, but I think it's important that we talk about the pressure that women are under to make this kind of perfect memory every time there's a holiday. And more it feels like there's more holidays, like Valentine's Day and spring and Easter and, I don't know, the May bank holiday in the UK. And then there's summer and then there's autumn, Halloween.
Thanksgiving, if you're in the US. Yeah.
All of these, Christmas. New Year's. It's like endless.
I guess it's difficult because here in Colombia, continue exceeding the idea that the woman needs to do everything in the house.
Yeah.
And it's like a strength for a lot of people, know that exists like that type of men that stay all the moment in the house and do the housework and trying to help the kids. That's for a lot of people, it's like a surprise. Obviously, right now we're trying to talk more about that like the men have also the responsibility to do things in the house with the children, with anything. But a lot of people believe that if a man does something, is because he's helping.
Right.
And that's continue happen a lot here. And for the season, I guess it's more pressure, obviously, for the woman to know what are you going to prepare for your family, what food you are going to do, and the kids, because in Christmas, we are in vacation. So in the house, they're like the kids all the time. And also there's like father that be in vacation, but go out to drink beer with the friends. So it's just like all the pressure and the responsibility is for the woman.
And I feel like, I mean, there's kind of a joke of men don't understand what women want, but oh my goodness, it's so sexy if a man makes the bed. You're like, wow, like you're so like progressive, which is really bad. I should obviously
low standards.
Yeah, we should obviously make our standards higher, but I feel like it's very easy for men to be like impressive if they do things such as like look after their own children.
And I think I remember seeing online, I forget exactly where, but if it was something like, if we empower women to have careers and work outside of the home without teaching men how to pick up some of that housework, it's not empowerment, it's exploited labor, because you're expecting women to do two full-time jobs, essentially.
Yeah.
And then also I've seen more people talking about the mental load. So not just, so maybe like you have a husband or a brother or someone male in the house who's like, oh, I'll help. Look, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So it's like even just making those mental lists of like what needs to be done, how does it need to be done, how to plan things, which is kind of, which as we're talking about the like invisible work that no one really sees, often falls on women to make the decisions of what needs to get done so that we can do X, Y, Z, and how to keep things, all these in mind. So I've seen lots of videos lately on like TikTok or something of, you know, a husband goes grocery shopping but calls constantly his wife, like, what do we need? Which brand? What is it?
And it's how many oranges?
And it gets to a point where a lot of people say, I'll just do it. Like, it's by the time it takes to explain everything that needs to be done and all of the small decisions that need to be made, I might as well just do it myself. And then, but that kind of just reinforces that cycle of, oh, no, she's better at doing those things. Oh, I'm just going to mess it up, so I shouldn't do it. Which doesn't change. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which makes it difficult for anything to change.
But it frustrates me so much because I was also watching a video about, and it was a woman talking about the fact that there's a rise in single young men. And the logic is that if there's lots of single young men, we're talking about heteronormative relationships, then there's obviously going to be lots of single young women. And the article talks about how unhappy men are being single, but it's like, well, yeah, because when you're in a relationship, women are doing so much more of the like domestic, mental, emotional labor that obviously you're going to be happier in a relationship. But for so many women, if they're going to be doing these things themselves, they might as well just like do it as a single woman. It doesn't make much difference to that.
I think it's a good experience for anybody who's able to have the experience of living alone or living independently. Because I think you really do learn a lot about how to take care of yourself and your space and all of these things. And you want, or at least I, you know, want a partner who has also learned those lessons so that we can then take care of ourselves, each other, and our space, and not this, like, replacement of, oh, I'm basically your mother or something. Mm-hmm. So I think for anybody, it's a good experience if you have the opportunity to live independently or to live on your own, which can be a privilege, I know. So not everyone has that experience.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good experience to have if you can.
Here I am thinking about the jungle that is not there. <apartment. laughs>
Yeah, but I believe that not necessarily live independent, because I live with my parents, but also I have, like, responsibility to do in my house. And I know, obviously, my mom trying to help me because I now have a lot of time. But I know if I'm not coming here on the weekend, I need to do some things. But for my friend, that's like a surprise also. Because, like, exists that idea that if you live with your parents do everything. And that's not true. Because you can try to do your things. Obviously, in my case, there's a lot of things that I don't like to do it. So I'm trying to do, like, a chain with my sister. Like, maybe you do that, and I'm going to do this because I like more. But if I know that my sister and my mom, it's not there, I'm trying to do it. So it's obviously, like, a good experience, live independent, but also you can have a responsibility in your house, also if you live with your parents.
I think it's the idea of, like, there's nobody there to do it. Like, if I don't clean my apartment, it will be gross. Or if I don't buy food, I won't eat, because there's nobody there to do it for me. And there's also, like, it's really fun. Like, there's so much freedom because you're like, oh, I want
dessert for dinner.
Yeah, like, I said to Hannah the other day, I was like, I really want pancakes for dinner. And she was like, yeah, you can have pancakes for dinner. There's no one to tell you that you can't. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, but that also means I have to make the pancakes, I have to buy the ingredients for the pancakes, I then have to, like, clean up, which would be fine because I'd have to do that for any dinner. But, yeah, the fact that there are some, particularly men, who just don't have any experience of, like, looking after themselves is crazy to me.
I even remember my first college roommate, who was a good friend of mine, and she's, like, a nice person and everything, but I remember her mom was helping her move in, and it was just the two of us, and her mom looked at me and was like, oh, sorry, she doesn't know how to clean. Okay, great. So you're expecting me to clean the whole, you know, apartment, the dorm room and everything. It was that, like, the mother turning to me and apologizing that her daughter doesn't know how to, like, clean a bathroom or something, which I think would be an important skill to learn.
Ignorance isn't a solution.
Yeah. And actually, when the mother have, like, all the responsibility, believe that the idea that the boy can do anything, and also my grandmother do that with my father, because she travel and she leave the house clean and leave all the food for all the week. So my dad said, like, I just wake up and, like, put in, like, hot a little bit and no more.
Yeah, just heat it up and
it's there. So that's, like, a complicated situation because you can live, like, with your parents and your mom need to go. But if your mom do anything because she believes that the man can do anything, that's a big problem too.
When I go home, it frustrates me so much because my he's probably not listening, but my dad, I love him, but he does not really do anything around the house. And it used to be kind of, like, understandable because he would be working a lot. He would work very long hours. He would go away a lot. And so it was kind of like my mum was very much like a housewife who would raise us, look after the house. But now they're both retired, so there's not really an excuse. And it really made me laugh because at one point he was like, he tried to make a joke about me coming back home, classic student, wanting their parents to do everything. And my mum went, yeah, but Phoebe does more around the house than you do. And because I, like, would help with the laundry, or I'd help cook dinner or wash up. And it just frustrates me so much because in lots of ways, my dad's very progressive and very, you know, he's raised three quite feminist, outrageous feminists.
Yeah.
But is still, like, reverting back to that very, like, stereotypical gender role of not really doing anything to help around the house. And he can do it. I know he can do it because he had to look after my mom when she was really ill. So it's not the case of, like, he can't do it. He just doesn't do it.
Yeah, I definitely feel that going back home and spending holidays, I notice a lot more those, like, all of the women are in the kitchen and they're cleaning up and they're preparing things, and all of the men are sitting either at the table waiting to be served, mm-hmm. or like in the living room watching TV. And so then granted, my family is a lot more women than men. There aren't many men in my family. But then I put into like this middle ground. I was like, okay, do I get up and go help in the kitchen because they need help and I'm capable of doing so? But then wanting to be like stubborn, like, I don't want this to be the dynamic that all the women are in the kitchen and all the men are sitting down basically doing nothing. Do I like stay here so that it's not mm-hmm. this like division of the sexes, or do I go help? And this kind of like internal conflict of realizing in your own family those stereotypes, as progressive of a family as it may be,
yeah.
they still, those like cycles, yeah. generational sexism, you know, run pretty deep.
And I think it goes back to, again, that like mental load, because mm-hmm. in some ways I'm like, I think my brother and my dad don't even notice if a job needs doing,
yeah.
whereas my sisters and I and my mum will be like, oh, someone needs to do this, and
yeah.
so we'll go and do it. It's so
frustrating. Yeah, it's frustrating, because actually that happened with my friends, because like some homework, they're like, you're a woman, you do some pretty much the things, and like, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can write. It's not a problem for me, because I know that I am a woman, but I don't like have that artistic hands to do that. It's
mm-hmm.
like, not just because I'm a woman, I'm gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult. So we can go with other song. So I hope I take a good decision. We are back.
We'll be right back.
Beside, I don't know. Shimeshi. Gracias. Nekati was a Zimbabwean musician known internationally for singing. Michelle asked me how I found this. Because
yeah.
actually I found like Zimbabwe musician in
mm-hmm.
Google. And this was the first one that appeared. And I listened
cool.
a little bit and I like a lot.
That is amazing, because people like Stella, they sing like the traditional genre, and
yeah.
so they get invited to countries like
mm.
in the UK, where there are a lot of Zimbabweans there, and they get to perform, and people get so happy and drink a lot. And yeah, she's
okay.
amazing.
We are okay right now.
Yeah.
Michelle, please tell us.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about the things that we do during Easter in Zimbabwe. So for us, the most important days that from Thursday, which is like Monday, Thursday, up to Easter Sunday. And usually, because most of the population is belongs to the Christianity religion, we go to church a lot. So,
yeah.
Like, on Thursday, there's, like, a service, like, around late afternoon. And then it's the same for Friday because there's a belief that that was the time when Jesus was walking with the cross and everything. Like, that's when the whole thing started. And then on Saturday, it's like a full day at church. And for those
Saturday
who go,
as well.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. For that's those a lot of church.
It is a lot of church.
Yeah.
And for those who do not, for those who are not Christians, they do have like celebrations in their homes, like parties and stuff. And usually a lot of, that's when the school public holidays start. So a lot of kids will be at home. And then usually it depends with the church. But in my church specifically, we have like an all night on Saturday where we, at 5 a.m., like Sunday 5 a.m., we walk around the neighborhood and then we'll be singing, like showing joy that Christ is risen.
Like a sunrise
type of situation.
Service.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the most important out of all the days. And then later in the afternoon, we tend to have like big lunch celebrations with family. That's when there are things like an Easter egg hunt for the kids.
Yeah.
And then like some relatives who live close by will probably come with some special dishes and then we get to share. And yeah, that is Easter for us. We also consider Monday as a holiday.
Yeah.
Monday. Yeah. So people don't go to work on Monday also. Sometimes on Tuesday also, but mostly Monday. So it's quite a big thing in my country. And there's also the thing of gifting your friends and relatives Easter eggs. We love them a lot. We consume a lot of Easter eggs, like different types, like the chocolate ones, the marshmallow kind, like a lot. Like I was actually talking to my mom and then I was like, I found out that in Colombia there's no such thing as Easter and they're not going to be Easter eggs, so are you going to send me some Easter eggs? So it's like, no, we're not going to do that.
I'm not sure if it would be in the shape of an egg
do that.
By the time it got
here.
Yeah, which is new to me because in my country there's even decorations for Easter.
Yeah.
Like,
nope.
There isn't promotions on Easter eggs. I remember this one time when we had like, it was, I think, a period of 2 years where we had like a lot of challenges in my country, economy-wise. And I remember that we actually had relatives coming with Easter eggs from South Africa so that we celebrate Easter. So, yeah, that is how we celebrate Easter in Zimbabwe. How do you celebrate Easter in the U.S., Hannah?
I'd say, aside from maybe that Saturday service, everything else I'd say is pretty much the same. With like the Thursday, Friday, people are often in church services and kind of going through the different stages of the story of the crucifixion and resurrection and all those things. And Sunday is the big celebration. We also have every year you hard boil eggs and then you dye them. And my grandma would talk about how when she was a kid, you would take like the like red onion skin or beets or like other use kind of natural vegetable dyes to color the eggs. She has a few from many years ago that were another option instead of like just hard boiling the egg is to pick like a tiny hole in one side and let it kind of all the egg itself drain out without breaking the shell.
Yeah.
Mariana's looking at me like, this is crazy.
It is a common tradition.
Yeah, it happens in the weekend.
And then you decorate the eggs. So decorating was always a big thing. So you eat a lot of hard-boiled eggs. There are the chocolate eggs. You have the plastic, you know, eggs that you fill with candy and hide around the house or around the yard for the little kids to take their little baskets and find their Easter eggs as well, that the Easter bunny left behind.
Easter is also very egg-themed.
Yes, lots of eggs. Yeah.
We go one step further, and once you've painted your egg, we then go egg rolling. There's lots of different names around the UK, I think around Europe, where you go to a hill and you basically throw your egg or roll your egg and see whose egg goes the furthest, which it sounds really stupid. It is a bit stupid, but it's a lot of fun. We also do lots of fun kind of things. Thursday and Friday tends to be like quite somber. Lots of people fast
more reflective,
as well.
Introspection.
Yeah, like you're not really supposed to eat meat on Good Friday. We eat in the UK, they're called hot cross buns, which is a type of sweet bread, and they're delicious. They're so good. We have a lot of like traditional food that we eat around Easter, as well as eggs, including a special kind of cake and special biscuits. So a lot of food, which I'm not against. I'm very for. And yeah, chocolate eggs as well. My favorite though on Easter Sunday is my family, and I think quite a lot of other families, wake up for sunrise and walk up a hill to watch the sunrise, which is fine when Easter's like around March time, but when you're getting into like late April and you're having to get up earlier and earlier to walk up the hill is not so fun. And then in my church at home, because often throughout Lent you've got a wooden cross and you add kind of symbolic items to the cross each week which represent the story of Easter, and then on Easter Sunday what we do is we take down all the symbols and we add flowers, fresh flowers to the cross, and then it becomes like this symbol of like new life, which I think is really beautiful. We also have Monday off as well. Nobody goes to work on Easter Monday. So lots of people have barbecues. And
Colombia has so many Monday holidays.
Yeah.
Why don't they take advantage of Easter Monday?
I saw a movie that I'm going to look the name, that it's Rise of the Guardians. And that's the only thing that we can know to Pascua. Because we don't have anything to egg and something like that now. We do Domingo de Ramos.
Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is last Sunday.
What happened, Michelle? You look at me strange.
No, I'm sorry. I just got emotional a bit because how people celebrate it here is not how we do it in my country. Yeah. And I was so sad because of that.
Here we
because
can't do that.
In my country, we literally walk with, like, palm leaves, singing, people will be looking at us funny, and then we'll be like, you know, that kind of thing. Like, celebrating, like, I actually go to church early, very early. That's the one Sunday that I go early to church. But then here it was just, like, leaves for decoration, and
it depends of the family, obviously, because, well, in my family, we never have, like, that tradition to go to the church, but I remember when my mom told me, like, my grandparents said, you can go out to the house.
Okay.
We can stay here, and we just eat fish.
Oh.
Because that's the idea. And also, when it's Semana Santa, you can go out, and you can see a lot of people trying to sell fish, because it's not, like, a good sign that you eat meat. But something like you do, that's not happen. Obviously, you can go to different, like, important church here in Bogota and also in other parts to Colombia. But, where I live, there's, like, famous La Iglesia del 20 de Julio.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that sell, like, a lot of things, represent something to that, but it's not, like, a big thing. Because for us, like, it's more common take this time to vacation.
I thought we were going to sing Burrito Sabanero.
It's just that in Christmas. In Christmas.
But it would also make sense for Palm Sunday.
Because the idea that, like, Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. On a donkey and you know. I hadn't thought about before, but you make a good point.
Yeah, it's a good point, but here we just listen Burrito Sabanero and others.
In December.
Or
September, how early, depending on how early.
Yeah, we start feeling December, actually, in September. Yeah.
I really, maybe I should start an Easter egg business in Colombia. I feel like chocolate eggs could really go far in Colombia. But I think the other reason that Easter, certainly in the UK, is really important is because it's quite linked to spring.
Yeah.
And so we've just had this really horrible, dark winter. And everyone's miserable, especially like in January, February, when Christmas is over and you're kind of sad.
It's cold and dark and there's hardly any light.
Yeah. And then you go to spring and so in the UK, we have lots of flowers that grow wildly. So snowdrops and bluebells and crocuses. And it kind of is this feeling of like summer's coming and it's not going to be miserable forever.
I guess that here in Colombia, we don't have like the season so strong. Here in Bogota, we have like the same weather like much all the time in the year, or maybe rain a lot, or maybe not rain anything. So for us, it's not like something to change because we are like the same weather all the time, and it's more like that in all Colombia.
Yeah.
So we not realize when it change the weather, obviously because we have problems with the planet, but not like normally. In January, it's normally that be sunny, maybe February, March, and April, rain, and no more. There's no, like, a moment to say, oh, it started the summer, just in June and July, because it's the moment that you go out to the school and take, like, maybe three or 4 weeks to rest, and no more. So I guess that depends a lot for us.
Yeah, in the Northern Hemisphere, where people are having spring, it's that, like, coming out of the cold, dead winter and then bringing all these new signs of life and baby chicks and bunnies and lamb and flowers and all of these things. It's symbolic both of the Easter story of like new life and resurrection, you know, the plants and nature are coming back to life after winter, as well as kind of the emotional like
relief.
Spring is like seen as a new beginning, whether that's in like your spiritual life or personal life or, you know, a new beginning, which is very much connected to all of the decorations and the traditions and everything. But yeah, if you live in a place that doesn't have very many season changes, those don't really make as much of a connection.
No.
Or they don't fit in as because here you still see, like, in December we snow decorations, even if there's no snow.
We know that we are, like, in December because all the house have lights. And because, you know, you're in vacation. But it's not because it's snow or something like that. That's not going to happen here. So that's, I guess that's why we now have, like, a strong Easter, because we really don't know in any moment where the weather is gonna change, just or rain or it's so sunny and no more.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah. So I have some notice for you guys.
We're running out of time very quickly. We actually had a lot more that we could have talked about.
Yeah. So we are gonna say thank you to Diego Franco and every person that is listening us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
today.
Diego.
Thank you
gracias,
so much.
Muchas gracias.
And we are going to finish with a Colombian singer that is called Juliana Vázquez. Buitrago, or just Juliana, is a Colombian actress, singer, composer, and presenter. She became known for being the winner of the reality show Angelitos in 2004 and participate in the program Canal Caracol Club 10. Thank you so much.
So thank you, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Tune in next week. Happy Easter or Holy Week, however you celebrate. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Que inocente
momento prometerse el cielo estando a las puertas del infierno. Ella lloraba porque no volvería a verlo, y él se reía porque lo mejor para ella era perderlo. Era un ladrón de profesión, castigado por la vida, que aprendió en un callejón a esquivar bala perdida.
Tú agarra el dinero y si me atrapan, corre.
Y corre el tiempo, llegó el momento, el corazón tan rápido y el reloj tan lento. Un vigilante aparece por detrás y el disparo anuncia que no hay vuelta atrás. El pobre guardia cae al suelo y ellos se apuntan de escapar, pero sorpresa te da la vida. No había uno, había más. Solo rompí el silencio y la sirena de la policía.